Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Aloha, nui loa, mi amiga.
Oui, yes, yes, yes. How are you doing over there? Did you take your morning walk today?
I have not yet. I'm busy. I've been busy on conference calls with the Romney campaign.
Cool.
I have some suggestions for next week.
Some questions that
need to be.
Oh, we're supposed to talk about this privately or on air?
I think we're going to – we may just go ahead today and what do you think? Talk about the
– I trust you. So, yes, let's do it.
Yeah, I think, there are times, and this show is about life, and there are times, and that it's important to talk about what's going on in the world, and it does affect our economy. A big, big, big part of the conversation last night, and in the presidential campaign, is the economy, which is absolutely in the wheelhouse of what we talk about in the first half hour, which is real estate, right?
Exactly. But because we're so close to the election, we thought we would talk about politics as well,
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile, and I've actually done some pre-promoting on my personal Facebook page, and I've given the phone number. By the way, it's 347-945-5428. You can also email radio@realtyuniversal.com if you'd like to. What did you think of the debate? Just kind of your first thought.
Because I'm pro Romney, but no, I thought Obama did much better than he did on the first one, absolutely, as far as the debate goes. I didn't feel that he got into digging into anything that he said he would really do for the next 4 years. I watched it afterwards when you had both sides giving their input, and there were people that were saying he did say he thinks, he did clearly, and I'm going, was I listening to the same debate? Because I didn't hear anything more than fluff, about – the deficit and what we're going to do and what we're going to do. It sounded like the same thing he said in before he became president. But I thought that was a good debate. I loved, I think Romney held his own. I thought he got a little sidetracked and it caught him by surprise when he was talking about Libya, where he said that the president didn't say it was a terrorist attack, and the president said, oh, yes, I was in the Rose Garden the next day. And I even missed that, And I missed that. And so, but – Candy, who with CNN, who was wonderful, brought in and accounted for that, and then brought up that yes, for the next 2 weeks, and they were saying it was a video. So I that was the point Romney was making, that our security isn't intact. There's much going on there that said that they were asking for security months before, and I read, and I go to really factual sites, that they said that they weren't even responded to. They were ignored. So what did you think of the debate?
Wow. Well, you pretty much gave it the broad brush there. That's maybe I'm a little more critical of Candy Crowley than you might be. I felt like Romney walked into the little bighorn a little bit on immigration, on I think there were two or at least two and maybe three other segments where he got to start, or I should say Obama got to start, and then Romney got to, kind of give his 2 minutes, and then Obama got a third chance, and then she didn't let Romney
get another opportunity. And so I felt like very, very subtly the cards were stacked against Governor Romney. And then she would cut him off. And then, of course, when she stood up and, you know, there on that Libya thing and said, you know, actually, you know, he did call it an act of terror. And then she walked that back afterwards.
She did go in both ways. I mean, I think CNN's much more liberal than, for example, like Fox, you know? So they've always been much more liberal. But I thought she did a good job. I mean, I thought she was pretty, given with what she was stuck with. I mean, you had two people up there, feisty as could be, right?
Yeah.
Following each other on stage. Obama was coming. You might as well put the boxing gloves on him, right? Because he was already told he screwed up totally the first time. He better get it right. I thought it was funny on the first time he didn't have a teleprompter. I hate to say that. I'm not being negative. But I think so many of his speeches, because he can speak like, I mean, he's got a silver tongue. But so many of his speeches, he has teleprompters. So I thought, okay, he messed up on the first debate because he didn't even have a teleprompter, you know? So I don't mean to be negative that way, because I mean, the big thing about being American and is our freedom of speech, our right to give our opinion, you know? And I just really wanted to do this today because I think it's so important for people to vote no matter who you are, where you are. I mean, I've heard people saying they're not voting because their state with the electoral votes isn't going to make a difference because it's Democratic. So if they want to vote Republican, it's not going to matter, and vice versa. And I'm going, oh, my God, do we remember who we are? We're people.
Yeah.
We're individual people. We're families. We're people. And it makes such a difference. We can't do that and just give away our votes, right? And I've seen in the they're looking to change the laws to where we could get away from some of that, to where if more people vote for one candidate, it's going to count. So, you know, we have to stand our ground. These changes don't get made overnight. And when you look back at the way the country was founded, you know, when we first started, I mean, it's amazing, and we've come so far from the way the Constitution was written originally. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to the families and the caring and the struggling and willing to fight for what we believe in. You know, so I think that, you know, please vote. If you're registered or if you're not, I think you still have, you still have time to get in if you do it in the next week, to get in and register to vote. Your vote does count, and it makes you feel good about what you're doing. It helps your direction, you know, and it's so, so important. So I'm looking forward to us talking about this today.
Yeah, it's important, and I've, again, the number 347-945-5428, the number you can call us here live right now. Again, 347-945-5428, radio@realtyuniversal.com. And let's take a break and then dive back in. Rodney Allgood is joining us at the bottom of the hour. Rodney is a local Mauian. He's an entrepreneur. He's very, very inspirational. I've connected with him over the years in radio here, and he's actually one of the most successful multi-level marketing guys in the history of a major company. And so he's kind of been to the top of the mountain. But to hear him talk about why he's successful, it's very much like what you and I talk about. He's in it to change lives, and that comes across. And oh, by the way, by really being honest and truthful and about that, guess what happens? He makes a lot of money because people connect with him, and I'm excited.
That's kind of what we're talking about the first half. Randy, you know, it's called about doing the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Do the right thing. In every given situation, we have a choice, and that makes a big difference. So I'm excited.
Oh, no.
That sounds great.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today. by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind, knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
Yeah, buddy. Michael Hyatt.
Good deal.
CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers. And if you're not following him on Twitter, you are missing a lot. So, hey, we are back. Realty Universal. Speaking of missing a lot, you miss a minute, you miss a lot. We are here, Randy and Natalie.
Hey.
And with politics.
You know, Randy, we were talking about the topic of the show tonight, even though, of course, because you said real estate, our first half is real estate, but you, like you said, you know, the politics affects the real estate, affects people, and how can you not want to get out there and talk about it right now when we've only got a few weeks away before we're going to, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks away before we're going to make a decision. And we said why you should still vote if you are in a swing state. I have heard many different people, because, of course, you know, we have a pretty huge network, that said, I'm not voting. You know, like, you know, what's the top? Who are you going to vote? You're going to vote? You know, and then we almost don't want to say whether we're Democrat or Republican. I'm voting for Romney. I'll come out that and say that. But, I mean, I've almost gotten in arguments with friends who are Democrats, and we're like, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to argue. I want to – let's just be real and, you know, we care about each other. We're friends. This isn't good. Oh, we're not going to fight, Natalie. We're not going to fight. And 10 minutes later, I feel like we're fighting, so I end the conversation, right? And
yeah.
But I've heard so many people go, my vote doesn't count. My vote doesn't count. I'm not voting. A swing state is a state in which neither party, Republican or Democrat, can claim a decisive historical advantage. That means a swing state can vote either way, which makes it so important. Like Ohio right now is huge. And they're pushing on the women. And I feel terrible that last night, I understand being an entrepreneur my entire life. I'm 50 years old. My entire life. Nobody gave me a penny. No family helped me. No nothing. I've been an entrepreneur. And I'm a woman. And I raised my son by myself because the ex didn't do a thing and owes me thousands of dollars in child support. So I can speak for the women. I totally understand what Mitt Romney said, and it gets skewed, and people are going, oh, my God, did he mean this? Did he mean that? And he was putting down women. He wasn't putting down women. He was saying that we need to be more flexible because we have children, we have lives. We all have lives. This old school where, okay, if you're going to get pregnant and take off a couple months, we don't want to hire you. I mean, please, get real. We're not living in, you know, the 1800s.
Yeah.
We're not even living in the 1990s. So I get it, and I had to speak out because, you know, if you're going to get just like poor Sarah Palin. I like Sarah Palin. Some people don't like her. I like her, and she is not a stupid woman. You go and turn around. She got 5 weeks before the last election to go in with and get to be in front of the whole world without practice. You tell me as an audience or whomever's listening that you could get in front of the entire world and not look like a deer with headlights, and I will bet you $100 that's not true. You're going to get nervous. You're going to stump up your words. So for people to turn around who are pros, like Katie Couric, who I think is very much a professional, to turn around and make Sarah Palin eat her words when she didn't have – I guarantee if Katie Couric, who I think is a professional, so I'm not knocking her, if she went in her first 5 weeks – and had to deal with the whole world, you're going to tell me she didn't look like a deer in headlights? So I think what has to happen is we need to get real and stop picking on people and stop being unreal and do the right thing. Now, I can tell you as an entrepreneur, and I don't want to be, you know, I thought the debate last night was good. I thought, you know, I think things go back and forth. And it's just really, we need to look at what the facts are. What has changed in the last 4 years? We are way worse off. Now, when you come into a mess, which Obama came into a nightmare of a mess, I give him that, you got to fix it. If you do nothing but make it 10 times worse, I'm sorry, there's no credit for that. And I've got to pull back on that, you know, but I just wanted to, it's a free country, we all get to say what we want to say, but I think we need to look at the big picture and stop focusing on this person said this one word or twitched this way or did whatever. Yeah. I mean, come on, you get up on a stage, in fairness to both of the candidates, and get up in front of the whole world and get thrown questions at you and you're thinking and you're going, come on, be real.
Well, I thought about that last night because, you know, there were several places where I'm sitting here in my, you know, my little condo on Maui and watching this presidential debate. And there were several points where I went, oh, he missed an opportunity to come back and say this or that. And it's really easy for all of us to do that sitting here. Even somebody as polished as Governor Romney missed some opportunities. And in the moment, it's, you know, it is a difficult thing to be able, you know, when President Obama, you know, when he talked about that Rose Garden and calling it terror, I mean, the logical thing would have been to say, well, then why for the next 14 days, if you knew it was terror and called it a terror attack the next day, why for the next 14 days when asked several times.
But you know what? Because I got where he was coming from. He missed that probably. He missed that. He probably missed that speech the next day in the Rose Garden. I did.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably missed it, and then Obama caught it right away, and then he's like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like, did he really? You know what I mean? I could see that happening because he missed it, but oh my God, I mean, everybody came out. It was ridiculous. Now that, unfortunately, them trying to put it on the video prompted a huge mess in how many other countries where people were protesting the video, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it
was
just disgusting to me what was allowed to happen just in the name of, we've got an election coming up. I don't believe that, you know. So, but I could see where he probably thought, oh, did he really say that? Because he might have missed that part because that wasn't the big picture.
And the whole, you know, oh, I cannot believe it offends me. You're politicizing this. Please, you know, it's so obvious to everybody that the reason you didn't call it a terrorist attack for 2 weeks when asked dozens of times is that you were politicizing it. You were downplaying it. Much easier to call it, impromptu demonstration because of a video rather than I goofed. Well, yesterday, you know, Hillary Clinton walked the plank for him and, you know, tried to take some pressure off. And in my mind, and I'm just going to say this, and maybe we'll get some calls. I've got a couple tweets already I'll share with you. But in my mind, you know, it's time for President Obama to put the big boy pants on and quit hiding behind Hillary Clinton and Candy Crowley. He basically yesterday hid behind Hillary Clinton and Candy Crowley. Twice yesterday he hid behind, you know.
Well, I like both of them. I think they're very professional. I mean, saying in general, you know, but I always think it's so funny. Clinton's out there, President Clinton's out there campaigning like crazy for Obama, and I'm thinking, you know, you didn't say those things about him when your wife was running.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so negative. And I've said that to a couple of my friends that are Democrats, and I do not like us saying Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, because if I thought the person who is to be president right now was a Democrat and I thought they were the right, I would go that way. I'm very much into who I think's the best. Well, I'm like, they didn't say, and I've told that to some of my friends that were Democrats, and they go, oh, my God, Nell, you're kidding. Like, of course he's going to say, well, like, well, to me, is that honest or not? Like, how can you say all these terrible things about Obama 1 year, and now because your wife didn't get elected, all of a sudden he's a wonderful man? I mean, you know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, and that's the whole disingenuous part about politics. And, you know, you mentioned Bill Clinton. I was thinking last night, as I was nervous and upset, you know, about the debate, right? And I'm feeling all this kind of, I'm getting whipped up into this animosity and this anger toward Obama, and I'm asking myself, to what end, really? What good does it do, first of all? And then B, you mentioned Bill Clinton. You know, I really, at this point, you know, I like Bill Clinton, but I remember during the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, you know, I was with everybody else going ballistic, knowing he was lying and going crazy. And this animosity, I'll call it hatred, got whipped up by the right wing, you know, Fox News and whatnot. And Rush and whatnot.
But I always thought Bill Clinton, brilliant guy, very intelligent, and I just thought he'd be someone fun to go to a party with or go socialize with, but not. No, he's done. And in fairness to him, he and Hillary have been phenomenal. They have dedicated their lives to service and everything. You know, I think they've been honest to God to go through what they've done. I definitely put my hats off to them. What he did with Monica's disgusting. I mean, I guess men might think that's not okay. There's no sacred ground, but no, he's a brilliant man, but I don't have the same. I mean, I think it bothers me when they're like, if we pay you enough money, if now you're in our camp, you're going to say whatever. No, I'm going to say what I really mean. I don't give a damn where I am, what I'm saying. I'm saying the truth. And he can't, if you go back and look at the clips, when his wife was running for presidential candidacy and the things he said about Obama, how does that change in 4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, was it true or was it not true? That's what I want to know. You know, so, and I'm not, I just get really upset because so many people right now are, it's just a big mess. And we do you care if we don't skip a break for a break right now? Because we only have like 9 minutes left until our guest comes on. And if we take a break, we're going to run out of time because this is just so fast.
Yeah.
You know, and I know anyone listening is going to say, Randy, you know, you and Natalie are just totally pro-Romney. And it's not. I'm voting for Romney. I will definitely say that. I'm proud to say that I'm voting for Romney, Governor Romney. But I love his values. I love that he believes in God. I love his history. I love all the people he's helped his whole life. He's lived. He's walked his talk. He literally has walked his talk. He cares about family. He cares about education. He cares about people. He doesn't try to toot his horn. He's been a businessman who's taken companies that were in terrible shape and made it good. I mean, you know, Obama's more of a community leader, and I'm not saying he's not a nice person, but I'm not saying that he. I just don't think right now we can't take any more hits to our deficit. We're going to have some. But we can't take any more drastic hits than we've got right now. We've got to go back to the United States of America that was wonderful, the melting pot, the freedom country, the reason people wanted to come here for freedom. Why should we turn it into a one-world government where nobody has freedom anymore and we don't get to go out and live our dreams and we just get to exist? And that's basically what's going to happen if everybody turns to just letting the government control their lives.
Yeah, well, and you're right. And it's the economy, stupid. I mean, it gets back to, it really does. And, you know, everybody's so, because we're just in this society of American Idol and The Voice and presentation, everybody is so about the presentation. Well, who won the debate? Well, you know, I think some people have said, you know, maybe the edge went to Obama, but really virtually a toss-up. But in the CNN poll, about the economy and taxes and deficit, Romney won in double digits on each of those. And
so I noticed that. The overall, but when you got into the categories, it was, I saw that.
And so you're right. You just hit it on the head. You know, you can talk about style. We can talk about gotcha with Libya. There's a lot of stuff, but it's not going to resonate as much as who do Americans think has the experience. And you know what? We're all inspired by Barack Obama. I've been inspired by him. He's eloquent. He is inspiring. And this isn't about race. It's about somebody that's in over his head. And it's time for the adults in the room to kind of take over.
Disgusted when they talk about race because I am not prejudiced. And Obama, to me, would be half black and half white. And my friends who are black said, Natalie, if they even have a little pinky, you know, fingernail of black, they're considered black. Well, that's cool. That's fine. That's wonderful. I'm not prejudiced. Anybody that knows me would say, she's not prejudiced, okay? I'm 50 years old. I've been around for a long time. I would never in a million years vote for a candidate based on his race, his ethnic background, his religion, none of it. But I will vote on integrity. To me, integrity means more than anything. None of us know everything. Randy, there's no one person in the world that knows more than someone else. You know more than I do, and I know more than you do on different things, right? And that
Absolutely.
Is going to happen with anybody you stand in front of in this entire earth, entire world. And you get these people that think they're just so above, and they know that, and they're so they just know everything. It's not true. You cannot.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So
yep.
I would never vote based on race. I understood. I had very good friends. One was 84 that was, 80 years old, that said she never thought she'd see a black president in her lifetime, and I understand why she voted on race. I do. It was one of those things where she felt like she was making history. I get it. I understand it. But we're around a second time now. History's been made. We've already had a black president get in if you're going to do it just for that reason. Please,
yeah.
You need to do it for your family. You need to do it, whatever. We were talking about, Randy, what was the question you wanted to ask me? There were a bunch of questions, but there was a question you were going to ask me, different questions. We only have about 5 minutes. So can you pick one of the questions out of the 10 we had?
About the debate or what? About what?
We were talking about the percentages and different things with the questions. We only have 5 minutes left, or actually we have 4 minutes before our guest comes on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think, well, you want me to pick one?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Pick one. Okay,
yeah.
Because we only have 4 minutes. We would take us, anyone who listens to our show knows that it would take us 3 days to go over one subject, right? So anyhow, the question that Romney, you know how like Romney was doing so well and then all these people got so mad when whomever snuck in and got him on a private tape and said, I don't care about the 47%, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. I can't worry about
yeah.
the 47%.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get that straight, okay? That's my one pick out of 10, because right now we only have a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he meant I don't care about the 47%. When he said I can't worry about the 47%,
yeah.
I understand that 100%. Now, last night in the debate, President Obama tried to include in the 47% the military, Social Security, retirement, blah, 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 all this stuff. I don't think that's what Governor Romney hoped to be President Romney meant at all. I understood
yeah.
being an entrepreneur who's never given me a dollar in my entire life, literally. When I was a kid, I had babysitting money since I was 9 to 11. When I was a teenager, I was out on my own. Nobody handed me the money. I mean, I'm just saying, I know what it's like to be hungry. I left my ex with less than $100 a month before I was turning 18 years old with a six-month-old child. I went back 3 years later, and then I married him and got divorced later, thinking that maybe things would change, which they didn't. But the point is, you're talking to the wrong person. I understand what it means to have, to not have, to do whatever. When Governor Romney says, I can't worry about the 47%, the way that I look at it, from an entrepreneur who's 50 years old, who's done it by myself, I look at it about the small businesses and the entrepreneurs that go out there and literally we pay our people before we pay ourselves first. We make sure the companies keep running. We pay the overhead. We've got a commitment and a dedication. What happens to that is you end up across the country with hundreds and thousands of jobs. The majority is not all big business. It's small business. So these people that he may be talking about, 47%, maybe people that are working that are saying, if he can get us back to a place where we have pride and we can do businesses and we're not going to be shut down, because a lot of entrepreneurs, if they can pay their basic bills and pay their family, they'll keep their businesses going because they get used to it. They know they're helping a lot of people. It's something that you live and you learn and you breathe and you feel good because you're serving. I can't explain it in 2 minutes that we have, but I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about, and I understand
yeah.
what he meant. He didn't mean, I don't care about these people. I mean, please. And of course, Obama and his camp, who are used to, Obama's a community worker and an attorney. Please. I mean, not knocking him, but if you want to get real, let's call him for what he is. Okay?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
doesn't give a damn about us. He really doesn't. He cares about a one-world government, and I'm sorry, but I understand the 47% didn't mean get rid of all that. Social Security is going to go away if we don't get together and get it together. But if we have plenty of businesses and plenty of jobs and we make America happy again and bring the rest of the world to saying, hey, America's strong again, the rest of the world's looking at us like we're weak, we're whatever. Then we can come back and we can rebuild. So that 47%, he didn't mean that. It would be like you and I, Randy, going, okay, Randy, you and I, we're going to talk about doing a radio show, right? And yep. We have to delegate. And Randy, you've been a pro 35 years in radio. I'm 27 years in real estate. We need admin help, phone help. We need all this other help. Where are our highest and best strengths, right? You and I.
Yeah.
To plan, to structure. That's what he means. I can't worry about 47%, meaning 47% is going to get taken care of if he goes as a leader and worries about his job, the rest of the people will be taken care of. So anyone listening, I hope you please trust us. Look at the big picture. Nobody can do everybody's job. And a president of the United States, don't let someone BS you and talk to you like you're the dumbest person on earth, which is what Obama does all the time. It's like fluff, 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 fluff. I hear no details. I hear no strategy. I don't hear facts. I hear fluff, fluff, fluff. Let me see this first. I'm about sick of it. I wasn't sick of it before. I didn't vote for him because I didn't trust him because of other things I heard when he was doing what he was doing and the people he hung with. That did bother me back then. But right now, yeah. Get into it. We can only – the president can't be everywhere 24/7. He's got to be a leader, and the leader needs to lead leaders and then trickles down from there, and it goes and it goes and goes. Now, when it comes to welfare – I got into a disagreement, I know we're just about over, with a Democrat who said, you don't sound like you care. And I'm like, what do you mean I don't care? Welfare, I had to go get help when I was 18 years old. I ate peas for a week, and I had baby food, and I almost got sick. Well, I did get sick for 2 days when I went and was invited to a Thanksgiving dinner because I'd only eaten peas for a week, and I was so sick. And I had to get help temporarily, and they said, no, you don't qualify. And there was a black woman sitting next to me that said, go lie to them, and you'll qualify. I said, I'm not going to lie. And this is the honest God truth. And I got temporary help for 6 months to a year, and then I got on my feet, and I did it. That's what welfare is for. Or disability. Some people might need it for their life. They might need it forever because they really are sick and they're disabled, and they need it. But there's a heck of a lot of people out there that don't need it, that are milking the system, and if you don't believe it, we need accountability. Florida, yeah. I don't know, I can go on and on and on. There's so many checkpoints. Start getting drug tests on anybody on welfare. That'll be a good checkpoint. Yeah. But, see, nobody wants to do these things. They don't want to look at that. They just want to fluff. So, anyhow, enough said.
No,
we're running out of time.
Yeah, and I think Rodney's on the line, and we're going to get to him here in just a moment. Rodney Allgood with us. And prepare to be inspired. I have not heard you as fired up like this in a long, long, long time. And I hear what you're saying about, the 47% thing. And I think to some degree he was talking strategy, which is I can't do anything about 47%. That's true. I think where he probably went a bit off the rails and actually ended up apologizing was for then calling those folks, victims.
And I agree,
you know what, to your point, there are people absolutely who are are milking the system, no doubt about that, but in that 47%, as President Obama said last night, there are a lot of people who are military, retired people who would like to work and can't. So boy, it kind of goes to the whole issue of this is who would want to be president.
I give them so much respect to wanting to be president. I agree.
Let's take a break real quick, and we're going to be back. Rodney Allgood is on the line, and Rodney is an amazing guy I've met here on Maui, and just very, very inspirational, and you're going to be excited to hear what he has to say. So stay tuned. Again, the number 347-945-5428. We'll be right back.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backside, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Grief is a natural emotion that is deeply personal, and it can take days, weeks, months, or even years to work through the feelings. There is no timetable for grieving a loss. Everyone heals differently. For most, there are several stages to the grieving process, and they are denial, a numbness and disbelief that the event has occurred. Denial acts as a shock absorber that helps us assimilate the difficult truths. Anger. When we have been abandoned by loss or death, anger can be very powerful. When we experience a loss, we can be angry at anyone or anything, the person who died, ourselves, institutions, or even God. Guilt, a feeling of regret or conflict or shame about the loss. Depression, overwhelming sadness about the loss that can seem never-ending. As we begin to acknowledge the loss and reality sets in, we can begin to feel sad, hopeless, and unprotected. And finally, acceptance. Acceptance means that you know that life has changed and that you need to find new ways of responding to that change. It's an awareness of life's new realities and a readiness to move forward. If you are coping with any loss, there are many resources in our community that can and want to support you. Please contact me at the Needham Youth Commission if you, a member of your family, or someone you know is struggling and might benefit from professional support or direction.
And we are back. Good morning. If you're in Hawaii, good afternoon. If you're on the mainland, Randy and Natalie, it is Realty Universal Radio, and a bit of a departure the first half hour as we kind of talked about the presidential debate and the presidential race, and it is going to heat up, and we're going to kind of switch gears here, as is our custom, the second half of the show, and get you uplifted and motivated and inspired, and no better guy to adapt than my friend Rodney Allgood. And first of all, I was struck by the name when I met him, Allgood, almost like a stage name, because it so kind of communicates what he's about. And Rodney has is an entrepreneur here on Maui, been really, really successful in the direct marketing business. In fact, has been to the top of the mountain, I guess, as it were. Was super, super successful, and talk about that a little bit. But I really want to camp on, you know, why you were and are so successful, Rodney, and that is the approach. First of all, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Randy.
So talk to me. I remember first time I ever talked to you at length. I think we were doing a radio show here on Maui, and it was with Scooter, I think. And that's how I met you. We were doing, I think, a sports talk show or something, and he brought you in because you'd been speaking to some high school students. And, you know, super inspiring. And then, you know, I began to talk to you and hang out with you. And I remember sitting at Starbucks and just being really inspired. And I thought, man, we got to get this guy on. And talk to us a little bit about your approach. I know you and I, you know, many, many hours of conversation about being the change, about the power we have to help other people. And when you really mean that and help enough other people, guess what? You make a lot of money in your health as well. I think Zig Ziglar said if you help enough people reach their goals, you know, you'll reach yours and beyond. And talk a little bit about your philosophy in terms of business, being an entrepreneur.
Well, Randy, I really feel like you've got to find your purpose in life. You know, why are you here? You know, what is it that you do well? What talents do you want to share with others? You know, without knowing your purpose, you're like a floundering ship. You're just random. Like you've got no rudder. You're just kind of floating around there. But once you find your purpose and once you realize that you deserve the goodness, you deserve those things in life that you want, that you deserve to be the person that you know you are inside, and once you really accept to yourself that you deserve that, then you start to bring that into your life, and then you're able to help others. And just like Zig Ziglar said, when you help enough people get what they want, you naturally get what you want. It's not something that you really have to beat your head on the wall over. You know, if you know where you want to go and you start helping people and you live in contribution, you know, those things will come to you. And I found early on, you know, I started my first business when I was 22 years old. And what I found is, you know, most of us struggle with other people's realities. So whether people tell us we can do something or whether people tell us we cannot do something, it really has nothing to do with us. You know, someone fell far short of their dreams, never ever touched it. They will probably tell you can't do what it is you want to do. If someone attained their dreams and went far beyond it, they'll probably tell you that you can do whatever you set your mind to. But neither person's words have anything to do with you. What they're doing is sharing their reality with you. So I find you have to be very careful with who you sanction in life, because you start to take on other people's reality.
True. Hmm.
So
very true.
The key thing in your success, one of the key things, is to really watch who you associate with and who your company is. You know, I've read many times that you become the average of the five closest people to you. That's who you are. If you don't have those associates in your warm circle, then that's a lot of people's problems. They can't get out of the gate because they don't know these ultra-successful people. Then your associates have to become the books you read, the videos you watch, controlling the information that comes into your head, because everything is between your ears. So when you watch what comes into your head, if you just become a random person and you're just soaking up, you know, everything around you, because your brain never stops. Your brain's always soaking up information. If you become a TV zombie and it's just a zombie to what's going on around you, you become a non-thinking person. If you're around people who are going nowhere, you will become like that. You will become a product of your environment. If you don't have those associates, then read, watch videos, buy CDs and DVDs. These become your associates. And you'll start to adapt the mindset of people you're around, of the things that you're taking into your brain.
Wow. Well, I think people, and you're right, man. I think people stay in their JOBs, surrounded by, you know, people who are negative. And but we need that. You know, we somehow need that job. And yet, I heard and I heard today in some of the conversation about, you know, the jobs discussion, even in the debate last night, is that people need to start, and this was one of the pundits on one of the major networks, he's an economist, and he said, you know what, people need to stop thinking about, oh, I can't find a job, and they need to start thinking about starting a business with what they do well.
Exactly.
And I thought to myself, my goodness, boom, that's so true. people need to start thinking about what they do well. And I think most people are just afraid of that. But guess what? If you don't have a job anyway, what do you have to lose? You know what I mean? I mean, so then take stock, right? And say, what, like you said, what do I do well? Contribution to the world.
Well, you know, I think what stops people, Randy, is people are definitely afraid to fail. And if you look at athletics, I love to use athletic analogies. The greatest of any sport usually was the one that actually failed the most at it, too. You know, Babe Ruth in his time hit the most home runs, but also had the most strikeouts.
Good point.
You know, in football, Brett Favre threw the most touchdowns and also threw the most interceptions. You know, whether you swing the bat and miss, and whether you strike out just standing there not swinging the bat, you still strike out. But that person that swings the bat at least has a chance to get on base.
Yeah.
And every now and then, be it by luck or anything else, you'll crack the ball out of the park. Okay, but you've got to swing the bat for that to happen. And so many people would rather not look silly, not look foolish, so they don't swing at all.
Mm.
And one thing I like to share with people is it's really important as adults to keep the mind of a child. You know, the Bible even talks about that. Jesus talks about that. You keep the mind of a child. I mean it in this way. A child, if he has a question or she has a question, will ask you.
Yep.
And if they're not satisfied with your answer, they'll ask you again, and they'll ask you again. They'll drive you crazy wanting the answer to something.
Or ask a bunch of other people. Right.
Or ask a bunch of other people. Okay? As adults, we don't want to look silly, or we don't want to look like we don't know something, so we pretend like we know and we don't.
Mm. Oh, that's so good, Randy. That's where the blonde hair comes in. You keep asking, you play dumb, it doesn't matter.
child,
it works well.
A child learning to walk is not concerned if everyone's laughing as you know, he or she falls down over and over again. This is going to get up and try again and try again and try again until they learn to walk. As adults, if we're going through that same process, we probably still crawl because we don't want to look silly in front of people trying to learn to walk.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a 7 or 8-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up, they're prone to say anything, a football player, astronaut, president of the United States. Somebody's got to be those things. Mm-hmm. And if you were to ask a professional football player, astronaut, what did you want to be when you were 7 years old, I promise you he'll say an astronaut or a football player.
Yeah.
But what happens is, again, as we go along, we start taking in other people's realities, telling us what we can't do, and we become afraid to swing the bat.
Yeah. Wow.
And to control our environment where we are never afraid to swing that bat, and we're going to fail, and we're going to get knocked down, and life's going to play some tricks on us, and there's going to be adjustments, and there's going to be turmoil, and we're going to gain it and lose it and gain it and lose it. But we can't be afraid to play the game. And if you think about it, if you were to go to Barnes & Noble right now, you wanted an inspirational book to read, someone's life, some biography, you're probably not going to pick up the book about the person who always had the golden spoon in their mouth or the silver spoon in their mouth. You're going to pick up the book about the person who came from nothing, the person who had trials and tribulations and rose up to the top. You know, you never see a Lifetime movie about someone who has always been on top. You always watch a movie or read the book about the person who came through things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we process failure the right way, when we say failure is my biggest teacher, it's my university of life. Failure teaches me. I'm not afraid of it. You know, you're not silly unless you do the same thing over and over and over again. But making a mistake or losing from time, it does nothing but build your character if you look at it the right way.
Good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Muhammad Ali has always been one of my idols. And I've watched all his fights. Muhammad Ali was 56 wins and 5 losses. Okay?
Yeah, baby.
No one ever knocked him out. You know? So
really?
He got knocked down. He got knocked down at the very end when he was really slow and had Parkinson's. They stopped one fight, but he couldn't knock him out. Muhammad Ali, broken jaw, whatever. And he just kept going. Now, here's the thing about Muhammad Ali. There's a reason why he would go around telling himself he was the greatest. I read a book about it. He said this. The person he was trying to convince was himself.
That's a good point, too.
If he said it, he'd believe it.
Yeah.
So he really thought he wasn't supposed to lose or couldn't lose. Okay? And another thing I got off of him, and this is a great analogy for life, Muhammad Ali said his greatest secret in all of his career is he would jog, like boxers jog. He would jog until he was absolutely exhausted, till he could jog no more. And then he would go to the gym to train.
Wow.
Okay, and that's a great analogy for life because he always knew come round 10 or 11 that he had a reservoir that his opponent didn't have.
Yeah.
So he would bring the challenge upon himself because he knew that success was within the challenge.
Someone once said about boxers, they win the fight not in the ring but on the road with the road work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That idea of mm-hmm. you know, people see win it in the ring, but where they really won it was being willing to do what
Correct.
Their opponent wasn't willing to do.
That's Correct.
Dude, that is so awesome.
Correct.
We've had a couple callers, and then they've hung up. If you're still listening, and you'd like to get in real quick with Rodney, you're more than welcome to at 347-945-5428. I look for you on the board and get you back on the line here if you had a question or comment for Rodney. Man, dude, this time is flying by. We're going to have to get you back.
It always does.
Hey, contact information for folks who are maybe wanting to get a hold of you and talk to you further or find out what you're up to these days. What's a website or an email for you?
Rod Allgood, RodAllGood, RodAllGood@gmail.com.
RodAllGood@gmail.com.
Correct.
R-O-D, and it's all good. And I got to ask you, man, is that's your real name, right?
That's my real name.
That's awesome.
That just sounds like, because of who you are, I mean, what better for a motivational speaker type person, the better name. All good.
A-double-L-G-double-O-D.
That's awesome. Hey, we've got a couple of minutes. What are you up to these days, man? Are you take a couple minutes if you want to and just talk about what you're up to these days.
Big transition in life. You know, I went through a huge transition. You know, we all... You know, I lost my rudder for a little bit, you know. But, you know, I got divorced about 3-4 years ago. So, again, big transition. So I sold my – I had a couple of companies that I got rid of. And right now I'm moving back into the network marketing field. I love to watch people grow. I love to watch people start to dream again. And so I'm going back. We have a company that just launched on Monday called High Definition. It has to do with being able to provide affordable health and dental care for people who can't afford it.
It's called High Definition?
High Def Nation.
Def Nation, okay.
High Def Nation.
Right. And we can go more into that if you know, if you have back here, we can plug into that. There's a lot of questions that we just launched, so I got to get clear on some of the products and the way we're going to set them up ourselves. So, you know, if we come back here, I can really share with you that.
Okay.
So many people don't have health and dental insurance, and we're able to address that problem there.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in that situation because I was at a radio station, and, of course, I had all that, and then leaving it, and especially folks who are kind of in the entrepreneurial mode, you are kind of on your own out here. And it's funny because as I get older, I think about that more, right? When I'm younger and you're bulletproof, no health insurance, no big deal. I'm 55. I'm like, wow, I might need to go to the doctor in the next few years.
You never know. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. So it's I think it's going to be a huge opportunity for people to really make a change. I mean, it's something that will save lives, you know. I mean, you're going to have someone who goes to the doctor that probably wouldn't have if they didn't have coverage, you know, and it really will affect people in a positive way. So I'm excited about it.
So it's High Def Nation, and again, just you can probably just Google that, or highdefnation.com maybe. Is that the website?
Right. Let me give you let's see here.
Because folks might be interested in becoming a customer and or, you know, being
Just if anyone wants information, go ahead and email me at rodallgood@gmail.com.
Okay.
And
rodallgood@gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and inbox me there. And again, it's health and dental. The dental's HMO with Delta Dental, and we've got some unheard of prices at for your dental also. So, yeah.
Is that nationwide or just on the islands or?
No, it's nationwide, but every state is different.
Okay.
Everybody's got different regulations, so some things apply to some states and not others. But you know, if you inbox me, I will. Look your state up and see what we can do for you.
Is it is the launch nationwide? Has the launch been nationwide?
The launch has taken off nationwide, correct.
Okay. Very, very cool.
Thank you for coming on. It was wonderful.
Wow.
Oh, okay, yeah. It was my pleasure.
Fired up, Coach. We're going to have to we'll talk to your agent and get you back on here in the near future.
All right. Well, let's do that. But thank you for allowing me to be on, and I look forward to visiting you again.
Aloha, my friend.
You
okay,
too.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. So, Rodney, all good. Wow. What did I tell you? Inspiring guy, man. And you can only imagine being in person, you know, hanging out with him. What a motivational guy. What a you know, just as he talks, you just really buy in. And I think that's why, you know, he's been so successful in the, you know, in that network marketing arena is that, you know, his approach and his whole purpose really is, you know, how can I help you? I think you heard that in his voice when he said he really gets excited about seeing people dare to dream again.
And it's awesome how he tells people that most of the successful people in the world in all-time history failed, and you keep failing and keep getting back up and getting back up and getting back up. Sometimes I think people try something, and if it doesn't work, they quit, and they never go back into the arena again. And I think he brought that out and pointed that out very well, that, you know, it's not – that's not what it's about. It's about getting back up, doing it again, getting into what you're supposed to do, and it's just, he did it, he explained it very well.
Yeah. rodallgood@gmail.com, again, is his email address, rodallgood, A-L-L-G-O-O-D, @gmail.com. And, I've been taking a look at the High Def Nation thing as well, just because, we don't have health insurance right now.
Do you have Cobra conversion? You don't have Cobra?
No.
Most states have that when you do it, but I don't know how the dental works, but for medical, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an old radio guy. I kind of think about trying to get somebody to trade.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a medical doctor, so when I'll email him and go, hey, I got this pain. What do you think? You know,
he's funny.
He'll give me a little kind of mini free advice anyway, but at some point, yeah, you're going to have to. I have to start thinking about that because 55. You said
you're.
I don't want to bring that up again, but you said you're. Are you 50 years old?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's when I was telling my brother last year in December. I turned 50 a year ago in December, so I'm on the next number now, and I was saying this is not a dress rehearsal. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, it's really kind of different, but it's okay.
So, yeah, I am. We've got like 40 seconds left, so we...
Okay, well, recapping, I hope everybody votes, no matter who you're voting for, and you really get online and dig in and learn as much as you can about it, because this is one of the most serious elections as we got into it, and I know I was fired up. Sorry about that, but at least I was being real. One of the, you know, so I hope everybody really digs in. Please, if you're not in a swing state, still vote. Your vote makes a difference. It also gives you the confidence. It shows that you're in, you're a game player. This country was founded on people that were willing to give their lives for a purpose and trusted in God and wanted to move on and give people the freedom to choose. And that's what it's all about. That's what the United States of America has been about. We're losing that identity in the world. We need to get it back. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.